talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna...
Graham and WAUK 540 AM. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits and all points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. And we're going right to the front lines of history in the making. And sadly, that means going to the front lines of Russia's invasion of Ukraine. I'm going to give you a lot of current developments. I'm going to talk a little bit about some sanctions and further things we could do, in my opinion. One thing is, as a result of these massive sanctions by the EU, by the United States, by Australia, Canada, by the UK, which is not in the EU anymore, but it's in NATO, basically all of the West, the Russian ruble sank to less than 1 cent. Now, you might think, oh, my God, this is really working. It is working. But the Russian ruble, even before this, was only worth about a penny and a half or 2 cents, because it's a crooked economy. Everybody knows they steal everything that isn't nailed down. But still, that's a very, very big hit. You see these bills that people are getting out of ATMs and things like 100 on them and 500. That's 100 cents, less than 100 cents, about 80 cents. 500, that's a couple of bucks. And they're all lined up, and they're all then trying to go down and buy bread in pelmeni. Pelmeni is a little, it's like a little dumpling that they put meat or sauerkraut or cheese in. They're very tasty. I've been over there, but they're no different from pierogi. I like pierogi better. I could eat a whole tray of pierogi. But in any event, with the rubles worth a cent, they ain't buying much of anything. They ain't buying much of anything. You know, the United States and its allies have found a way to prevent Russia, as you know, from accessing the more than $600 billion that Vladimir Putin had holed away, sold away. He had gold, Chinese currency, rubles, but 32% of his stash, his emergency rainy day stash, to get him through these sanctions were in euros, and about 16% were in dollars. So almost 50% of his stash was in dollars or EU euros. And of course, a ton of it was in gold beyond that. And where do you sell gold if Europe and the United States won't buy your stuff? I'll tell you what, Volodymyr Zelensky, the president of Ukraine, is magnificent. I respect what he is doing and his courage and his leadership more than any other leader in Europe, Asia, Africa, anywhere else. This guy is the gold standard. He is starting to go down as the George Washington of his country, and deservedly so. He has just signed an application for the Ukraine to join the European community, the EU, the European Union. Now, remember, there's a difference between the EU and NATO. You know, for instance, Britain is in NATO, but it withdrew from the EU. That's an example. The EU is essentially a borderless entity encompassing much of Europe. In fact, almost all of Europe, except Norway hasn't joined. Britain got out of it. And you can go anywhere you want, whatever country you're in. There are no trade tariffs. It's a fantastic idea. Fantastic idea. It started with the Treaty of Rome back in 1960. Europe was starting to dig out of the devastation of the Second World War 15 years afterwards. And Zelensky's applied to join it. That's a brilliant stroke. They had a picture of him sitting there signing the document with his two principal aides. They co-signed it and sent it off. And the EU is very sympathetic to having them join them. That is different from NATO. NATO is a military alliance, And Article 5 says an attack on one is an attack on all. So if the Russians invade Poland, we in the UK and France and Germany will respond militarily against Russia. And if they go into Latvia, Estonia, Lithuania, and of course, if they go into France, Germany, and so forth. But the EU is a deeper relationship in the sense that then there are no tariffs. Anybody from Ukraine could go into Europe. And remember, Ukraine used to be part of Poland. Ukraine has a border with Poland. It has a strong friendship with Poland. Ukraine used to be part of Poland. Back in the 1700s, until Prussia and Austria and Russia went in and divided it up and took Poland off the map, Ukraine was part of it and Lithuania was part of it, and Poland was the largest landmass country in Europe. And they were attacked on three sides, shamefully. When I say Prussia, in those days, Prussia and Bavaria had not come together to form modern Germany. Bavaria didn't invade. Austria invaded reluctantly, and the Poles were actually glad to have some Austrian connection. Not that it helped them much, but Prussia and Russia were vicious, divided them up. And then sadly, in 1939, Germany invaded the Nazis under Hitler again. And then Russia sided with them initially. Ribbentrop Agreement. They went in and they were going to divide up Poland. And then Hitler started Operation Barbarossa, went after Russia, right, stabbed him right in the middle of it. Russia deserves to be stabbed. It was Stalin. Hitler stabbed Stalin. But Russia then was Nazi occupied and then communist Russia occupied until 1989. Until Lech Walesa, the magnificent trade union leader with the electrical workers in the docks in Gdansk, and the Pope. Pope John Paul II, he's now been sainted. He's St. John Paul II, the Polish patriot as well. And he and Lech Walesa together created the climate where the Soviet Union started to fall apart and left Poland. So this is all going on there. And when, you know, Putin, who's a modern Hitler, thinks, well, Ukraine belongs to us. Well, no. Back in the 900s, 1,000 years ago, Russia was a forest inhabited by wolves. That's it. They exported wolves. And if somebody wanted to go to what's Russia now, they could go hunt wolves. Ukraine was a civilized country at the time. And Kyiv had been a major center going back several centuries into the 7th and 8th century. They had Byzantine churches there. Russia had squat. So it's all a lot of baloney. What Putin is really saying, except that I don't think he's read a lot of history, is that they conquered Poland and divvied it up with Prussia and Austria in 1795, roughly. So therefore, he should go back and do that again. Well, no. No. You don't then go in to bomb a European city, a magnificent city run by a magnificent leader. So Zelensky, what I would do if I were in the EU is convert an emergency meeting right now and admit Ukraine. Admit them. You know, it's not NATO. There's no Article 5. It doesn't say there's going to be military support. Immediately get rid of tariffs. And immediately Ukraine, you know, as one of the people under siege, some of the Eastern European countries that are taking time to recover from their Russian occupation, Poland, Latvia, Lithuania, there are subsidies from the EU. There are subsidies from the EU, and some of those subsidies should go to Ukraine. So I think it's absolutely terrific. In the meantime, on the ground, this is a very ominous development. The Russians are starting to cluster bomb civilian areas, apartment complexes, homes, shopping centers and town squares. Missile just went in within the hour into the town square of Kharkiv. That's a city that's on the eastern part of Ukraine near the Russian border. Apparently there are a number of Russian-speaking people there. Truth of the matter is, there are Russian-speaking people all over the place. Every truck driver in Switzerland can speak four languages. you know, we're the only country in the world that really think, well, we don't have to learn a foreign language. That is very sad. It's anti-intellectual and it's stupid. It's stupid. People in Europe all speak English as well as French and then maybe German or Italian. Some speak Spanish. If you're in Ukraine, yeah, you're going to speak Russian and Ukrainian and Polish. That's terrific. Terrific. But the Ruskies think, oh, well, Kharkiv is close to our border. Some people speak Russian. We might as well go in and gobble them up. And what they're doing is the word coming out of our intelligence and CIA is that Putin is angry, paranoid, and frustrated at the bogging down of the attack by land. They've lost 5,400 troops since February 24 when they invaded. That's 5 days ago. That's 5 days ago. The Ruskies, 5,400 dead. That's more than in the entire Chechenian war from 1994 to 1996 for 2 years. Ukrainians are magnificent. They snipe them, they bomb them. We've given them Stingers. Stingers are surface-to-air missiles, take down planes and javelins, which are anti-tank. A lot more to talk about today. A lot more to talk about today, supporting Ukraine. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going to a break, but there's a lot more. I'm back after the break.
Tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut him down, tell him that God's gonna cut him down. You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time.